We always like to have guests from the official opposition to the NDP to join us here at the Trendy 55 Hot Seat. Please be joined on the line right now by Racky Pancholi, the NDP's Children's Services Critic and the MLA for Edmonton White Mud. I guess, first of all, Racky, thanks for taking the time to join us here today.
Thanks, Kyle. It was a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, main topic we wanted to discuss today is it's come up recently, and it's a topic we've discussed before, is around children in government care, and some reports coming out about another year of more deaths of children in record numbers in the system here. I guess initial reaction to that there.
Yeah, thanks, Colin. This is a really heartbreaking issue that unfortunately is not new. I mean, just to set a little bit of context for your listeners, it's been well over 2 years where we've seen a growing number of deaths of children and young people who are receiving child intervention services. So not all of these children are actually in government care, but they're receiving services and supports through children's services. They're very vulnerable kids. And what we have seen is that they are unfortunately and heartbreakingly dying in record numbers. And so, 2021 was a really bad year, and we saw an increase in 44% of the number of children and youth who have died. And that trend is continuing. And we know that it's going to be even worse, actually, this year. That's what we're hearing from the Child and Youth Advocate, who is an independent officer of the legislature, whose responsibility is to speak up for and advocate for children and youth. So, It has been a really devastating time, and of course we know it's been a tough couple of years for a lot of Albertans, but children and youth are the most vulnerable. They are the ones who government are responsible for, and we have been raising the alarm as the official opposition for well over 2 years, asking the government to listen to the recommendations coming from the Child and Youth Advocate and to pay attention and take some serious actions to try to address this. Unfortunately, we've had almost no reaction and action taken by this government to date. And so that's what we're continuing to do, is advocate on that issue.
And given some of the numbers involving the children in this in the care system here, and what kind of changes do you think would be needed to the system to help prevent some of these?
Yeah, and so when on Monday, actually, I sent a letter to the chair of the Legislative Offices Committee of the Legislature, because the Office of the Child and Youth Advocate was coming to speak to that committee to talk about the work that they do, and they actually do investigations into all of the children in who die in care, and they've come forward. That office has come forward with a number of recommendations over the last couple of years, which they're demanding sort of a little bit more transparency and accountability from government ministries. Right now, they make a recommendation, government says, thanks very much, we agree or we don't agree, and that's pretty much it. And they've been saying, we need more accountability. We need to know what the government is doing in response to these recommendations. And as an example, one of the recommendations that has been made by the office for well over a year, which we think should have been actioned a long time ago, is around making sure that there is a specific opioid strategy for youth. When we look at the numbers of young people who have died, it's heartbreaking how many have died as a result of drug poisoning. We know that there's an opioid crisis going on right now in our province. It's hitting vulnerable young people the hardest. So the advocate is saying we need a specific strategy that looks at opioid addiction and challenges that is for youth, because youth are different than adults. Their brains are different. They're forming differently. They need to learn more about drug poisoning earlier on in school. They need strategies that are different. They're higher, more likely to take risks. And so we need specific strategies for young people. And they've made that recommendation to the government and the Ministry of Health. And there's been no action taken that is specific to youth, and certainly not a strategy. So that's something that we think absolutely needs to be done. We need to make sure that we are addressing the core of the issue, which is young people and drug poisoning, and get to the heart of that and take targeted action. We also know we're seeing significant staff shortages, frontline staff shortages, particularly in Northern Alberta. We recently heard that there's a 45% vacancy rate in frontline staff that deal with and support children and youth, which means kids are not getting the support that they need when they're in care. And so that is a huge challenge that, again, we've been raising the alarm for 2 years, that we need to take serious action to make sure that we have that staff. And we need to be working specifically with Indigenous communities to make sure that they're supported to exercise their authority to care for their own children and families, as they have the right to do under Bill C-92, federal legislation that empowers them to do that. But also, we need to make sure that they're getting the right number of supports. We're working with kinship care providers and foster care providers and group care providers to make sure that we're funding them appropriately and providing appropriate resources for them to support these children and youth.
And you mentioned the point there about working conditions for children's services staff here in northern Alberta. And I know specifically around our region and high level, they actually had at times no staff there for children's services. So how important is it to get more kind of sort of boots on the ground, if you will, having more people involved in children's services, especially up here in the north?
Yeah,
how much
that
can
is...
that help the situation? Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely critical. I mean, it's not just having more people, but it's also having, you know, people who are trained properly and supported properly. But let's be clear, if we don't have staff and there are no child intervention staff up north, that means that those kids and those families are not getting support. Like, caseworkers are absolutely critical to making sure that the children and the family and the foster parents and the kinship parents are getting the right amount of support, are connected to resources that they need. And that they're being, you know, assessed and monitored to make sure that the kids and children and youth are doing well. If there are no staff, those children and families are simply just not getting resources, or you're bringing in staff from other parts of the province who just are already overworked. And this is an ongoing issue with child intervention staff, huge caseloads, high burnout, high turnover. So it really has a significant impact. And we know that the more kind of remote or rural the families are, the more supports they need. It's more important than ever that they have that direct connection. So it absolutely has a significant impact when we don't have the staff we need in areas like High Level and even in the Peace River area. Like, it's pretty, that's a pretty dire outcome. And, you know, the red flag should have been raised a long time ago and should have been paid attention to by this government, that significant action needs to be taken to address that.
And certainly, we've talked about this over the past, couple of years ago or so, how things have gone in the world and how that's sort of affected children who have been particularly vulnerable for the last little bit. How much is that also kind of sort of playing a factor into this?
Well, there's no doubt, and I actually think this was an issue that kind of came up when the Child and Youth Advocate was before the committee on Monday. There's no doubt that, you know, there's been a lot going on in the world, the pandemic, high cost of living, challenges around getting access to, housing, and as well as, of course, as we mentioned, the drug poisoning crisis. All, kids don't exist in a bubble where they're only affected by one or two issues. They and their circumstances and their family are affected by everything that's happening. And that's when I say this came up in the meeting, it's because we can't continue to just think that Children's Services, for example, is the only ministry that touches the lives of these children. In fact, we know that housing, the justice system, healthcare system, all of those pieces, the education system, they all come together to influence the outcomes for these families and these children and youth. So this is why it's so important that we don't just hear from Children's Services to find out what they're doing to support these kids. These kids need access to affordable housing. They need access to good childcare. Many of them are young parents. They need access to employment strategies and post-secondary education. They need all that sort of full support. So this is why it's important that all ministries who have recommendations and serve children and youth need to be part of the answer and the solution. And we need to make sure that they're also being transparent and accountable. So, kids and families, they're just like everybody else. We're all affected by all the factors that go around us. And so we can't treat them in isolation. We need to make sure that we're providing holistic kinds of supports to make sure that their safety and well-being is taken care of.
And finally, whenever we have guests join us here at the Trendy 55 Thoughts, we always like to throw in a little personal question to kind of show that these politicians are, in fact, people too. Of course, we are early on to the new year. A lot of people like to do the big kind of New Year's resolutions. And I'm curious with you, are you one of those New Year's resolutions people? And if so, what is your resolution for this year?
Oh, so, I know you want an answer, Kyle, that's going to show I'm a real person, but I got to tell you, it's election year, right? So, and I am a politician. So my New Year's resolution is for the Alberta NDP to win the election in May of this year. But that's, obviously that's my job outcome. My personal resolution is actually to make sure I do a little bit of yoga every day. I know that sounds a little bit boring, but, finding those moments, 15, 20 minutes of self-care every day is pretty important. And I'm getting to the age where I'm doing a lot of door knocking and it's starting to have an impact on my knees. So I got to make sure I take care of my body so I can do some continued door knocking every day all over this province in the next few months.
Yeah, I think definitely a lot of people can agree with you on the kind of the self-care aspect of that. Anyhow, yeah. Racky Pancioli, NDP's Children's Services Critic, MLA for Edmonton-White Mud, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Kyle. Always great to chat with you.